You're listening to Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson on PLIR, Prayerful Living Internet Radio. Now here's your host, Corrine Walson.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show, Healing Through Prayer. I'm your host, Corrine Walson. Today's going to be a little bit different. Every once in a while, the Holy Spirit's going to show me a vision. It's kind of like a mini movie, if you will. And I find that they're a perfect teaching tool for me. I see them, and then I begin to understand what all the symbols in them mean. And it's just the coolest experience because these visions are a lot like Jesus' parables that he gave the disciples. They've got layers. They apply to everybody, meaning like the first time I see it, I'll learn something, and then I'll revisit it in my mind, and a second lesson will come from it, and then later more lessons at an even deeper level. And it just kind of goes on like that. And the vision just keeps giving, and it's perfect for me, which is why, you know, I know that it's God talking to me. I'm really grateful for when this happens. I received the first part of this vision probably a couple years ago, and then recently, as I was driving to church, it was around Thanksgiving, more was added to it as I was driving. It just kind of settled into my thoughts. And so when I got home, I thought it would be a good idea to sit down and actually commit it into writing. And I was delighted to find that it all came back easily and effortlessly. The words just came, and the memory of, you know, the beginning part came back so vividly. So I'm going to deliver it to you today exactly the way that it came to me. And this morning, my hope is that each and every listener will hear it and that it's going to call to remembrance with you a truth that you have only forgotten. I hope it'll spark the truth that lies dormant to life again within your consciousness, and that you might get your own aha moment, because that is my purpose and passion in life and reason for doing this show. So please just sit back and relax your body, open your mind, and simply agree to hear my offering without any judgment or fear. If you find that it doesn't resonate with you, that's perfectly fine and acceptable. I know each one of us has our perfect walk with God. He's communicating and undoubtedly talking to each one of us in a way that's perfect for us. But this is simply what came to me, and I'm only offering it to you with my love. Are you ready? Imagine a long hallway, and that you are at the beginning of it. And at the other end is a brilliant white light, yet it's soft and warm and inviting. And you know intuitively that it is your job and function to keep focused on this light. While you're in this hallway, you experience perfect peace, complete satisfaction, a quiet sense of joy, and a tremendous sense of gratitude. And the remembrance of your connection to and oneness with the Creator floods your consciousness. And in this stillness, you know that everything works together in perfect harmony, and all that you ever need is effortlessly supplied for you, because it is your Creator's great pleasure to provide all that its creation needs and desires. And you are in a state of awe before the grandeur of reality, the perfect balance, the rhythm of life, the perfection, the beauty, and the love that permeates you and your surroundings. And as you begin walking down this hallway, you notice that the hallway is lined with doors, and these doors from the inside of the hallway all look identical. Then all of a sudden, one of them swings open, and there stands your best friend with a panicked look on her face, motioning for you to come in and look. And because you love your friend and you're concerned, you enter into the door and find yourself in a room where there are chairs lined up facing a movie projector that is playing a movie called Scarcity. And your friend is talking rapidly about how the economy has been hit very hard recently due to a crisis in the housing market, how prices for food and gasoline have gone up, how there's a shortage of food and jobs are hard to find and she can't afford her rent. And you watch your friend point to the movie playing and you can see how agitated she is. And as your eyes become accustomed to the dark in the room, you see other people sitting in chairs, some with their eyes glued to the screen, yet some have fallen asleep in their chairs because they've been there so long. And then you receive a stirring within you, and a still small voice reminds you of where you just came from, that feeling. Where was it? Oh, yes, yes, back outside in the hallway, where all your needs are always provided for effortlessly, where you are safe and loved and cared for. And you try to take your friend's arm and go back out the door, but she keeps staring at the movie screen and becomes irritated that you aren't seeing what is right before your eyes. Look, she insists. Don't you see what's happening? Don't you even care? But as you try to explain what's on the other side of the door, it seems the volume of the movie gets louder and you're drowned out, and your friend goes back to the screen, mouth open and eyes full of fear. You realize that you cannot help her, that you must go back into the hallway alone. As you enter into the hallway, the stillness and peace welcomes you. You take a moment to allow yourself to readjust from the previous scenes of chaos and calamity to the knowing of the presence of God and His dominion over all. You exhale and are so grateful to be back home. As you continue down the hallway further, another door opens, and it's a family member crying, begging you to come into the room and see. You immediately head for the door to see what's the matter. And just as you cross the threshold into the room, there was a still small voice that asked you whether that was a good idea. But this is family, and they're crying. And you dismiss the voice, and you go into the room. And there on the movie screen are very disturbing and very real-looking sick people, scenes of illness and disease, with narrators talking about symptoms and seasons that people will most likely suffer from these unavoidable illnesses, how long they'll last, what medications you will need to alleviate this inescapable suffering. You see the fear and horror in the eyes of your family member, and you begin telling him that what you're looking at is only a movie being played on a screen, that it's not real. You point out that there is, in reality, nothing going on, except that he or she is mesmerized by what is playing out in front of them. There's nothing actually taking place, that all he or she needs to do is come out of the room where everybody experiences perfect health. But your family member looks at you like you're absurd, argues on the side of the scenes of numbers showing high fevers, paled skin color, running noses, difficult breathing. Look at the pain these people are in. How can you deny this? You obviously don't care. Either that or you're delusional. And with defiance in their eyes, they turn away from you. And you see that he or she has returned to join the others, sitting in their seats, staring at the movie screen, fixated on the images of suffering sense. And again, you feel the familiar tug to go out of the room, and you head back out into the hallway. You continue on a bit further now. Again, a door opens wide, and your mother steps out. She looks frail and scared, and she asks you to come into the room with her, and you don't want to go. But it's your mother, and your heart wants to reach out to her. And you go in, and the movie of unavoidable death is playing. And your mother is wringing her hands, and you go to comfort her. You want her to come out in the hallway with you, where life is eternal. And she listens to you for a bit. You tell her that her life is complete out in this hallway, that she is spiritual and eternal. You ask her to remember who made her, and that she's not a limited physical body, but a free and perfect spiritual idea of the divine mind that created her. And just as you think she's convinced, and as she stands up with you and you head for the door, she takes another look at that movie screen and looks back at you and with great sadness tells you that death is, in fact, inevitable, but that she loves you. You stand there looking at the screen and tears well up inside you, but your hand is on the door to the hallway and you shudder over this moment as you are being called to remember the truth of being, all the while being consumed with the sadness and grief on the screen in front of your physical eyes. Just then you hear the still small voice tell you that you are of no real help to anyone as long as you stay in the room. The only place you can help another is from the standpoint of perfection, back in the hallway. If you are in the room, you are accepting the reality of the movie being projected, and you are no longer awake to truth and reality. Aha! You exclaim as you remember once again the experience of the hallway, and with this renewed strength, you grab the door handle and enter back in. A wave of joy, of gratitude washes over you. You shed tears and thanks to an almighty God and his infinite goodness as the former pictures are wiped away and you recall the truth that sets us free. As you continue your journey, new doors begin to open up. Some people you recognize, some you don't, and you acknowledge these people. And sometimes you might strain your neck to see what kind of movie is playing in the room, but you don't enter into the room. You begin talking to those in the room while standing in the hallway. Some of them slam the door on your face. Others listen for a moment and then shake their head and close the door. But you begin to realize that the longer you stand in the hallway, the more certain you are about the truth of being, the more influence you begin to have over those who are in the rooms. They listen to you a little bit longer. They notice that there's something different about you, a light perhaps, a certainty, a knowing, something that they recognize or recall in you that makes them want to listen to you more. And then one day a woman opens the door and pleads with you to come in to see the Help Me, My Child is Dying movie. And there is not a single part of you that is in the least bit interested in going into that room, but you do feel immense compassion for this woman. And you look back up at the light at the end of the hallway. And with this surge of love and power, you look her straight in the face and you declare to her that what she is standing aghast at is nothing. It is a movie on a movie screen and nothing more. And that she has the power and authority and ability to walk out of that room anytime she chooses to. That her life and the life of her child are always perfect, safe, and secure in God. That no power exists to end, alter, or destroy life. Life is God. He is life itself, eternal, with no beginning and no end. You share with her the story of your brother Jesus Christ, how he came to prove the nothingness of death, the allness of life, that he overcame the grave and gave us the victory over the illusion of death. And you see something click in this woman's eyes. She remembers. And she smiles, and without even hesitating or looking back, she enters into the hallway with you. She is transformed as she walks out to join you, beauty and holiness radiating from within her. She laughs as she throws her head back and she faces the light. She's overjoyed to recall her birthright and sings out in thanks because she's overcome with gratitude. And you felt something, and you looked down, and her child had joined the both of you. And the child takes your hand and his mother's hand and looks into your eyes and says, "Thank you." And that's when more truth begins dropping into place for you. Yes, my job here is to stand firmly in this hallway where I receive all that I need to do the Father's will. And to beckon to those who are in these rooms, hypnotized by the pictures. And this desire springs up, and compassion's in the driver's seat, and you humbly ask for guidance on how to spring your beloveds out from these rooms. And that's when you hear the following. These rooms are like refrigerator doors. The light comes on inside them, only when you open the door and the lights shut off when you close the door. Like the refrigerator door, the movie in these rooms only start when the door opens, and when the door is shut, the movie turns off. This is because the movies, which are only false beliefs being projected outwards, they need a watcher, a witness, in order to be seen. A false belief requires a believer to have any influence or power. If there's no believer, there is nothing to the false belief. If there is no witness, there is no movie playing in the room. So unless there's an observer in the movie room, the movie isn't playing. And if there isn't a believer, there is no false belief to mesmerize us. And then came the punchline. You hear in the most sweetest, kindest, most loving voice you've ever heard say, "And by the way, I never created a false believer." And you take a step back and you gasp and the tears fall and you begin laughing because you realize that you had still been mesmerized yourself a bit while in the hallway, seeing doors with false believers past them, taken in and feeling responsible and concerned for others, when all along there's no such thing as a false believer, a false belief, a scary picture, an illness, sickness, or death, or a sufferer of an illness, sadness, or a victim of scarcity. You see with infinite clarity the perfection of what God is and what God created. The new understanding takes on a vastness, an expansion that goes beyond your physical senses and moves through you and out into everything you see. You are transformed by the freedom that this truth brings, and you can't help but be so grateful that everything you felt that was so real before was nothing but a false concept that you left behind, because you know that you have the mind of Christ, and therefore you are not a believer of false images, and nobody else is either. What is true for you is true for everyone. And you claim this out loud, and you thank God for it. And then you hear voices from behind you. And as you turn around, there is your best friend, your mother, your family members, and a host of others that you recollect from the dream. And they are smiling at you, and you are laughing and celebrating with one another, even poking fun at each other, playing like kids and enjoying the presence of God, the allness of good, the absolute nothingness of its supposed opposite. You see the truth in each other's eyes. You recognize your oneness in one another, and you are overcome with love. There's nothing else. Nothing else matters. Nothing else is real. Nothing else is acknowledged. Nothing else exists. And in a moment, you all stop and join each other and look back towards the light. And the most beautiful music you have ever heard begins to play. And the walls to the hallway fall away. And you see colors you've never seen before above you. And every part of your being becomes vibrantly alive. And all together you hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And you are welcomed home. I get chills every time I read that. It's a vision about awakening. It's remembering the present fact of your oneness with God, that you have never, in reality, left his presence, that we really do live and move and have our entire being in him. It's a powerful tool to use during your day to see, where are you when you're thinking? What are you looking at and giving your attention to? Are you focused on God? Are you in one of the rooms mesmerized by a false picture? If you're experiencing fear, you can be sure you're in one of those rooms. How long you stay there depends upon you. But the fear is dropped and peace takes its place when you choose to step out, focus only on God, allow Him to take over everything, and rest in the knowledge that an all-powerful, ever-present, loving God can and is taking care of you perfectly. And as you see this and claim it for yourself, you free those around you from their so-called rooms. You cannot help another if you stand with them, staring at some false picture playing on a movie screen. And the more time we commune with God, the more time spent in that hallway, the more obvious it is to us what is real and what is not, until eventually all that is false drops away from your experience. The false fears of the world are no longer a threat because you no longer are a witness to any of it, and therefore it has no influence over you. There is a song entitled Awakening by Chris Tomlin that I felt was very appropriate for this morning's show. God bless and have a beautiful week. Thank you.
Healing Through Prayer with Corrine Walson is broadcast on PLIR, Prayerful Living Internet Radio.